Welcome to another episode of JFT, Just a Few Takes, the sports and snacks podcast and everything in between, putting it down for the culture, doing it for those that love their snacks and their sports. So last week we were talking a little bit about sports routines and things that players do, and that got us to thinking about superstitions in sports. All the things that people do psychologically to give them that little edge, put them over the top, and, you know, really dig in on that two-strike count.
Didn't Stevie Wonder write a song about that?
About superstition?
Yeah. I think he did.
Probably.
Well, then it's got to be real, you know. But anything your mind can tell your body to do helps. So if you're putting it in the right direction, that's the best thing you can do. So if it's being superstitious, saying, hey, this is what I've got to do because I'll hit the ball out of the park, you know, then you do it. You know, so I'm all for superstition. Stay on that wavelength, that groove that where you got in the zone. You know what I mean? Go there. Let it happen. Don't be afraid.
Yeah.
It doesn't happen every day. You know, but when it does, you know, go. Don't be afraid. That's all I can say. But superstitions, I'm down. Sign me up.
Okay. Yeah. So the one, there's a few quite famous ones, and the one that I always think about is MJ, and he'd wear his North Carolina college practice shorts or whatever shorts underneath his jerseys, his regular shorts.
Yeah. Well, once again, bringing that that realism from success and keeping it close to you at heart, even though it's the physical, you know, it brings into the mental. The physical goes into the mental, and it's that attitude. And, you know, it's all muscle memory for athleticism and then a little creativity on top of that. But you need both. But, you know, that's where he got it. It was right on him. The championship.
Oh, yeah. It wasn't, you know, the shoes?
Well, of course that helped. And believe me, it did help. I mean, when those shoes came out, yeah, I could jump another 3/4 inch.
Oh, yeah. Sure. In style.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
That's all I needed at that point. Just a little more.
Yeah. But whatever MJ did, it worked out.
Absolutely.
Pretty great for him. But then...
Number 23.
Yeah,
in
Hall of Fame. But then Jerry Tarkanian, the UNLV coach. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure if we touched on that before, but he'd have that towel.
That's, you know, right.
Is like who was the Hoyas coach?
David Thompson?
Yeah,
not David Thompson. Thompson. Yeah.
Yeah, but he would have a towel on his shoulder.
Yeah.
And then Tarkanian would chew on that when he got nervous when they were on their big run.
Well, when these players hug you, they're going to get their sweat all over you. You know what I mean? So it's like you're just playing a little bit of defense, you know. But I think in Jerry's case, it might have been a little bit more self-imposed. But what a great team, the Running Rebels. Oh, my God. Those guys, yeah. I loved watching those guys.
Yeah.
And then you'd look over to him being so nervous and go, don't worry, you're watching TV. They got this, you know.
Yeah, man, Duke beat them, though.
Yeah.
That one year. I mean, that was... It's just college basketball was different, though. There wasn't a whole lot of one and dones, if there was any. So those guys were in there 3-4 years, at least 3 years.
Yeah, they had a good, you know, good run. Bobby Hurley, there's somebody that was a champion. Boy, I think that guy led the NCAA in assists. You know, his playing career got cut short with that car accident right outside Sacramento Arena. I think it was on the 99. But yeah, that was another great ball player.
They had a good team, Grant Hill. Yeah. Christian Laettner hit that shot.
But he was, you know, he was the best. You know what I mean? He had a great
college career.
Oh, God. God, I wish we could have saw more of him. Big fan. And I'm sure they had their little superstitious, you know what I mean? I mean,
yeah, everybody did. Yeah.
You know?
For sure.
And it's good. It's a good thing.
But the one, and this has been done, I think, It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia did a whole episode on it, but it, apparently Wade Boggs would eat chicken before every game, which is delicious. Yeah. I don't know how that digests, and I don't know how long before every game. But that was interesting. But then the one that that I love is that I think it was they had a evening game or day game, and he just started drinking beers at the airport or before, then to the airport, then on the plane, then when they got off the plane.
Yeah.
And then rumor has it was 107 beers.
Oh, my God.
And then played that day.
Yeah.
And it's just like, holy smokes.
As I remember, I think I was at 105, and he ended up beating me just at the end. I couldn't hang on. Amazing competitor, that Wade Boggs, I swear to God. No, just kidding. But back to the chicken. The chicken was really an important...
What do you think, fried?
No.
Okay.
Because when I worked at Pacific Heights Athletic Club back in the 80s. We used to have some bodybuilders in there. My one friend, Brian, he was doing movies and stuff like that. And he would say he would come in, you know, a couple hours before he worked or did his workout, and he'd be just the chicken. And
the breast, probably, right?
And, yeah, mostly no, breast and stuff, but no skin and no bones, of course. But yeah, it was just the raw, you know. And I go, aren't you putting any spice on there, hot sauce or whatever? And he's like, no, I just do plain to get all protein. That protein to get in there. Yeah. You know, then by the time it digests, it's already in your system and it's ready to work for him. And he did a lot of commercials back in those days.
I was picturing it differently then. I was picturing it more like a plate of KFC with like coleslaw and potatoes, gravy, fried chicken. You know, a bucket.
Well, that's us.
Yeah, so I mean, if he's just doing some rice and some, you know, plain
if you want to stay lean, being an athlete and lighter on your feet, you're pumping that protein and not putting all the junk in there, so it's in your system and you're ready. So that's what I'm saying with him. It was like, it was good for him. I mean, he was a batting championship. I think he won a batting championship at least twice, right?
I'm not sure, but yeah, he was an excellent player. But I'm curious. I'm curious about this 107 beers because
that's a lot.
Yeah, so were they? I don't think they were doing private planes at that point. So they're on a commercial flight. How many beers could he have gotten on a commercial flight, or were they private planes and they just had ice chests full of beer? I mean, how many could you actually get? How many did he have at the airport? How many, you know?
Well, I'd have to look at the contract.
Yeah.
You know, but it's hard to say.
But just mathematically.
So they don't know if it was a private or.
I don't know. I did zero. Commercial. You know what I mean? This is all wives, you know, like wives tale. Okay. So I did looked up zero.
Okay.
Did, you know, I'm just trying to mathematically break this down into how it would fit in your body and how you could get served that many because. You know what I mean? I'm just looking at logistics.
Yeah, but you know what? If you have that system that doesn't have all the junk, you're processing that beer so fast. How many times
have you
been?
I'm not looking at it like that. I'm looking at it like who served them this many beers.
Oh, okay.
That's what I'm saying. How could they?
We're not going to blame anybody, are we?
No. What are you talking about?
Okay, we're here to teach, not preach. And if we don't have the right answer, quote us if we're wrong, right?
Sure. Yeah. But I'm just saying, does a plane?
But you
even
better
have,
be able to back it up. Just saying, sorry.
Does a plane even have 107 beers for every? You know,
that's what I'm saying. I mean, there had to be some kind of clause if it was that's why I'm leaning towards it was a private plane. I mean, once he won
that makes more sense.
Second batting title, he was going in style. I mean,
yeah, but these are owned by the teams.
That's right.
It's not like they charter them. Yeah. Well,
So I say it was a. It was the team's plane, and they knew that they had to be ready. I mean, it was a different time back then. The 80s, the 90s, early 90s.
Yeah, they used it like Gatorade. I hear you.
Oh, God. Are you kidding me? Yeah.
That reminds me of, what was it, Major League? Speaking of liquor, whatever, and the whole thing was you can't steal Joe Boo's rum. I don't know if you've seen that movie.
No,
but yeah, it's just like it jinxes you.
It's a bad idea.
Yeah.
I wonder who did the little blessing on that, right, to make it that way.
Serrano.
Oh, the ball player, of course.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he was the one.
Which means
that was
translate
his.
To peppers.
Yeah, now he's slinging credit cards or insurance or something.
Oh, good for him.
Yeah, he's on those commercials. I forget what it is, but yeah, no, he's dope.
Welcome back.
I don't think he went anywhere.
Oh, he didn't? Okay, no. I hadn't seen him in a while, but good job. You know, that's awesome. Yeah, and he has a great name, Serrano.
That's just his character's name. I don't know what his real name is.
Oh, I know. I don't know what his real name either, but he sure got a great name in that movie. We got to give them the Chili God stamp for approval right there.
Yeah, that's a great sports movie.
We pulled it up early. I mean, I usually wait till the end of the show, but I think we got to give that one the stamp of approval because his name was Serrano and one of my favorite peppers. So let's make that our...
I had a young Wesley Snipes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's right.
What's his face?
Charlie Sheen.
Charlie Sheen. That's the guy he's looking for. Wild Thing.
Yep.
Then the catcher. What was his? He's a good character actor.
Yeah, the whole
it was a good cast, huh?
Movie was incredibly funny. You know, and some of those guys were athletes. They looked like they could play, so that's good. You know, it was realistic. It was fun. It was fun to watch, very very fun to watch. But yeah, so I got to think of something else that would be.
Well, when you were playing, what did you guys do?
Oh, we just mostly drank a lot.
No superstitions, no batting rituals, no you know, rally caps.
Yeah, I mean, no sometimes. No
7th inning stretch.
Yeah, sometimes the guys would, you know, put the hats upside down, you know, and backwards or whatever, stuff like that. But, you know, I think when I was a kid, as a Catholic, we always, you know, imitated the ball players and did the cross sign, the sign of cross before we went up. But then once I learned to take a hit and to duck, you know, after that, I just went with my own luck. You know what I mean? But
oh, what about teammates?
Yeah, you know, people had their weird, you know, I won't say weird things they had to do, like, you know, a lot of them don't want to cross a pitcher's mound or you know, to disrespect or, you know, step on the lines, you know, they try to have respect, they'll hop over the lines just to keep the lines cool because you never know if there's an in-between ball that could go either way and they're the ones that hit it, they'll know it's fair, hopefully. That's the way I look at it. But, I guess that's it. But, you know, it was, I think, probably a lot more then than now. I don't know. It seems like an old school thing.
Yeah. No. Yeah, because people love a bat flip and all that. I'm
mad at it. What days?
I ain't mad at that at all. But, yeah, so from the rally caps to the playoff beards, that apparently it started in NHL. And then towards the 80s, the baseball players picked it up. I've only seen it or noticed it in baseball, the pitchers. You know, they let the beards go. They till the series is over.
Oh God, yeah, that's a good one. That's a good one. Rob Wilson used to do that for the Giants, right?
Yeah, there's a bunch of people. Yeah. I mean, it's a totally a thing.
Oh yeah, that's cool. Like, hey, no, I'm focused. I don't have time to shave. Okay, when are they coming? We want to beat them. You know, yeah, just you know what? I really love the thing now. I appreciate now when they win the playoffs and then they do the champagne all over. But then they go, oh no, we still got the championship. We gotta, you know,
yeah, you can't celebrate a little too early.
Yeah, let's get back to focus. So I think that's a good superstition that actually is probably a healthy one. You know what I mean? Because you want to be healthy going in the championship, you know, mind, body, and soul. You know, and that's why I think there's rumors that I think Kobe Bryant actually got some bad food when they were in the playoffs at some hotel. You know?
I thought that was Jordan, too, the flu game, whatever. That he ate a bad pizza or something, or was it Kobe?
Well, Kobe
probably was, happened quite a bit, huh?
Yeah, well, but that's what they made a big deal about it was, you know, they're in town to play in the playoffs, and the people that worked there were like, oh no, they knew it was him, so they supposedly, you know,
doused him,
put something in there, and the next day he was like dying, but I think he ended up playing, or maybe he did.
Sure, if he could walk, he's playing.
You know, that's a good question. You know,
that sounds like some mob chef trying to cover the bet. You know, get the good guy out, because what food service place just happens to have something on him to freaking make him sick? Whether it was just one guy, come here, buddy, sneeze on this pizza, and he got the flu.
Oh God!
You know?
Wow. But I mean, it could be. It could be.
It's a great story.
It could be as severe as you know, the guys you don't cross, or it could be as sincere as just somebody that was somebody else's boss that just worked there, just was like, no, fuck this guy, and they came in a sneeze. So it could have been just not for money. It could have been just for fuck you. We don't like the Lakers, which. You know, I say we all have our favorite teams, and that's just the way it goes. Don't hate because somebody doesn't like the same team you like. You know, baseball fan, not a team fan. You know, basketball fan, not a basketball team fan. If they're good, they're good. Give them the praise. Give them the glory. But
yeah, but fan comes from the word fanatic.
I know, but that's what I'm trying to talk about.
Let's, thinking is out the window when it comes to fandom.
Let's but not I hear get you. Crazy
in a perfect,
out there.
In a perfect world.
Yeah, let's not that's get how the crazy game would go. There, you know, so just stay calm, cool, and collected, and you know, we're not here to preach. We're here to teach. But at the same time, you know, just do the best you can, you know?
Yeah, so back to the rally caps and the rally beards and the big beards. I think that that turned into like almost like a style, so it almost, like the guys just grow the beards all year round, because remember there was the Fear the Beard?
That's right, great campaign.
Yeah.
Great campaign. Yeah, those were some, God, the Giants, we had some great years.
It was like every other year.
And then what the 49ers doing right now?
Just went in.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Crazy. And you never know. The last guy on the bench, hey, we got nobody else. Get in there, kid. He goes, okay, watch this. And he just kicks some butt.
So. Yeah, he's got some great teammates to play with. But that's for sure. Yeah, all these guys are amazing athletes, though. That's what we forget.
Yeah.
You know, just because they're not drafted high doesn't mean anything. All you need is a chance sometimes.
All you need is a chance. Wow, that's a...
You know, I wonder what his routines are. They all have crazy routines.
Yeah, wow. Wow, yeah. The routines.
Yeah.
But routines turn into habits, and then good habits are the ones you want to have. So let's nip it at the bud.
Yeah, because that's like when...
go for the good ones.
So what's the... Another one is the no talking to a pitcher during a no-hitter.
Oh, and, yeah.
You know, or no talking about it. You'll see the, you know, around what? You know, think the fourth inning, fifth inning, if there still isn't a hit, he's on the end of the bench by himself just sitting in there. The announcers won't bring up those words usually. And they'll just kind of pan to him. They'll guess about it. They'll hint about it, you know. Yeah. And then it's just he's on an island for the rest of that game. They're trying to keep him in the zone. And who knows if that's a thing.
Which we talked about earlier.
Yeah, for sure.
Staying in that zone. And when you get in there, don't be afraid. Go for it. No,
it's almost like you don't almost want to just like not even think about it by just acting like any other game.
Yeah.
But then it magnifies it. It's just an old, it's one of those rules of baseball. One of those old, I guess, superstition is the words that as long as I've been watching baseball, that's how it's been.
Yeah. No, and it's funny because I was involved in one of those when I was playing baseball at City College of San Francisco back in the late 80s. And the kid.
A no hitter?
Oh, the kid was Herm. He was our Herm. He was our best pitcher, right?
Yeah.
And, he ended up pitching, I think, at UNLV or somewhere in Nevada, Division I school. But anyway, I was just playing and not even, you know, just playing hard and in my little zone. And I remember it was the ninth inning, and I said, I was getting ready to go talk to him, you know, saying, like, what's up? You know, like, just to say, what's up? You know, not even you're doing a great job, but, you know, hey, how's your mom and dad kind of talk? And I remember the guys grabbed me, and they go, what are you doing? Get over
here. How old were you?
I was 24, but it was...
Oh, you didn't know?
No, I didn't know he was throwing a no-hitter.
Oh, I see. You follow me?
It wasn't that he didn't know the rule.
Okay.
You know, I knew the rule.
I'll take it back. I'll take back my thoughts.
But you know what I'm saying? I was so into my zone.
I hear you.
That and just I playing like, yeah, he's on a roll, but
yeah, we're all playing good.
We're all playing good, and I love playing for Herm, and we get, you know, I get in there, and I'm not even in that part of the zone because I was so focused on the game and staying in my zone, and he was in his zone. You know what I mean?
Oh, he did. Yeah, he was doing. Yep.
He almost
screwed it up for everybody. So he did do it. He closed it out.
No. He gave up. He gave up a hit in the ninth. He threw a one hitter.
That's still impressive.
He threw a one hitter and he went. He went nine. I forget if there was one or two outs, but he went over nine innings, like 9 point whatever. You know, I mean, he made it to the ninth inning at least. I know. I think he had gotten one guy out.
They brought in the closer after they got a hit, huh? That's usually how it happens.
Yeah.
But this is way before, you know, people used to pitch full games.
Oh, God, yeah. I mean, when I played at Butte College in a summer program.
Even in the pros.
Yeah. There was a doubleheader, and the second game of the doubleheader, they didn't have any – there was no backup pitchers. It was at the end of the season, you know, the whole thing. But they were both starters, and they both went to like – it was one of the longest games I ever played. It was like at least 12 innings, or it might have been more, but at least 12 innings. And both these guys pitched the whole, you know.
It's impressive, huh?
I think it was more. I'll have to ask Jim Lauer, the old baseball coach out there, great golfer too. Actually played in the Mets organization. But yeah, just a crazy time.
Wonder if. You know, of course, it depends on the pitcher and all that in their arm strength. But I wonder what the velocity on those fastballs get towards that. And I guess it's also how many, you know, because some of these no hitters are like they're not throwing a whole lot of pitches. They're getting a lot of ground balls and a lot of strikeouts.
Yeah.
You know, so it, depending on how many innings and how many people get on base or how many pitches they got to throw per inning, I wonder how that velocity is. And from the ninth inning to the first inning on those fastballs. I wonder if they're going more trying to fool people, going more change up, off speed stuff, and then more just trying to use the whole strike zone, as they say, you know, not giving guys good pitches to hit or what, you know, or I wonder if you're in such a zone.
This was old school. In principle, the umpire's not going to want to go home. I mean, these were guys, this is junior college level.
No. I'm saying in general, not in your specific event. Just in general, the pitcher's arm from beginning to end, you know, because nowadays no one plays a full game.
Yeah,
no. You're lucky to see someone go five innings.
These guys gave it all, and I felt they were throwing. Both of them were throwing just as good at the end. I think it was 2-2 going into extra innings. I think we won it in 13 innings maybe, and or 12 and a half or something. I don't or 12 and a quarter or a third, whatever it was. But I think we ended up getting three runs, and then we closed them out. So yeah, I think we ended up winning. But what a game for both these pitchers! You know, they're in their early 20s. You know, just throwing that long and going, no, I'm not giving up. No, I'm not giving up. And it was a knockout in the, bottom of the 15th. You know, or whatever it was. You know, the last round, or past the last round. So yeah, and it was old school. It was old school. But you know, now it's a business, and you got to be real smart. You know, you gotta play by all the rules. You know, so unless you're stealing, how about that Ricky Henderson, huh?
Yeah.
God, I love watching Ricky.
He's fun to watch, yep. And he was really fun to watch. Great base stealer.
Absolutely. Local boy.
Yeah, so the rally cap, I don't know if I have any thoughts on the rally cap. I feel like I guess it works. You know, I first saw it, you know, of course, in Little League and stuff like that, and you throw it on like that in the dugout. But then I've seen, you know, as the years went by, the fans do it in the stands. And sometimes the guys in the dugout will be doing that. But other than that, I don't know if I see the players do a whole lot of it. It's more a fan thing.
Well, everything's a trend or a fashion, and sometimes they go in and out, and sometimes you see the wave, and sometimes you don't see the wave, and I always loved the wave because I felt the whole stadium was going, yeah, and
they were the wave's awesome. Yeah, I don't know if I've ever been part of a good wave, or maybe that's how a good wave is. It's just up and down, and you don't get to see it till it's on the other side.
Yeah, but you if you're up there, yeah, you got a good view.
Yeah,
I've seen some nice ones.
I've seen some nice ones, but I'm saying being a part of it.
Oh no, I was.
Started it?
No, I didn't start that one. No, heck no. But me and my brother really started all the funky high fives. That's for sure. But the high five, there's another superstition.
Oh, yeah? How so?
Well, because if you give it a good high five and then you hit a home run, you're going to want to get that same good high five when you cross the plate. You know what I mean? And then you carry it on to the next one and next one and next one because you get in sync. You know, and that's all those. And then when those guys bump into each other and jump up, it's all.
The Bass Brothers. They do that forearm.
Yeah, they're all in sync. You know, they're all in sync, and that's what you want to be with. When you're playing ball, you want to be all in sync like that. So, yeah, and just having a good time and relaxing, because that's what it's all about. Love the game, love the game. That was our slogan for the Chili Gods baseball team, Santa Rosa Junior College, Sonoma County.
There you go.
Yeah. Some good guys.
Yeah, so I would like to see some sort of graph or breakdown on if the rally cap, if there's anything to it. Mathematically, everything's, you know, numbers, and you know, people keep track of all the sorts of stats, especially for baseball. There's a stat for everything. I would like to see the percentages of rally caps that worked and rally caps where the people just messed up their hats.
That's one I've never heard of, but I don't think it could hurt, so I'm going to go with 51%.
Oh, it worked?
Oh, I don't know. That's my guess.
51% of the time? Mm-hmm. It works every time?
No, 51% of the time, so it means it helped in the long run. It's a better than not doing it. That's what I'm saying. But if it was,
it doesn't
I
wouldn't hurt.
Say 100%, and I wouldn't say no, it doesn't help you. But it's just like having being your fan base. You've got more fan base. You've got more people going, we could do this. And the other team's looking at, well, at least they're all together. And then you lead the next guy bunts. The next guy steals a base. Next guy gets a base hit. Next thing you know, it's tied. And someone comes off and hits a walk-off homer. And you got that synergy going together. Not like, oh, boy, they'll never make it. You know, you got to just be a cheerleader for yourself. No one else was. And there's no such thing as bad advertisement, you know what I mean? So, you know, might as well say, hey, we're going to do this. You know, just have a good attitude. You know, rally caps, good thing. I think that we should have more, you know. As long as they don't have an advertisement on the other side.
We'll oh, they fun. Would for sure. But yeah.
Hey, look, they got their Miller Lite.
It turned into NASCAR.
Okay, NASCAR remember, ads. If they start doing that, think of the Chili Gods when you see that. Oh, if we could get a patent and have to make sure they do the Chili God logo on the other side. Then when they do the rally hat, they got the Chili Gods on their side. Then next thing, and then we're up to 52-53%, way up from the 51%. And we're in business, right?
There you go. Proof yeah. of concept. Yes. You heard it here first. But yeah, I have to say that baseball, to me, has probably got to be the most superstitious sport think of. You know, from you know, the way people wear their batting gloves to the when they take the batting gloves off and just hold them in their hand when they steal bases.
Yeah.
To the chewing tobacco, to the bubble gum, to the sunflower seeds. There's just so much to it more than, you know, football feels like it's a hut-hut hike. Then it's 5 minutes till they load back up. Then hut-hut hike. You know, basketball is just so fast. So it feels like baseball, there's time for all these little customs, rituals, and routines and superstitions to form.
Yeah, because basketball is more a trash-talking environment.
Well, it's act-react.
Yeah, and it's you're in my so face fast. And I'm trying to intimidate you, or you're trying to intimidate me. And in the case, you know, just play the game. But it's my philosophy. And then with baseball, it's just like you said, it's more about superstitions. You know, you don't get to see the trash talk there. You know what I mean? And football, wow. Yeah, that's the big one right there. Football.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah. That's the one where everybody's playing for a piece of that land. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you got to fight for every inch.
Throw it over there. Are we going to bowl over? Are we going to have some finesse? You know, and defense wins, but you know, and God bless the Patriot player that's back living his life and coming back from that injury the other night. So, you know, God bless football, baseball, and basketball, or truly God bless baseball, basketball, and football, and all the other sports. Hockey for the ones that started that tradition, right?
I believe so, yeah.
I didn't know that. So that's let's give some props.
No, the rally cap was started in the 40s with the Tigers. It said the playoff beards was started in hockey.
Oh, excuse me. I stand correct. And that's why quote us if we're wrong. Oh, okay. Well, there you go. I guess we got to give our brothers over there in NHL a little bit of props for coming up with that one, right? That's a good one.
Yeah, they have all, I'm not up on hockey, but they have all kinds of stuff. Like when at that one place, when you score three goals, when you do something, they throw squids on the ground.
Oh,
when you
yeah.
score four goals or a hat trick, they throw their hats on the ice. I mean, there's a bunch of stuff with hockey. You know, you throw the stick down, only the enforcers kind of, you know, fight or box. You know, the Wayne Gretzky's and the scorers, you know, they don't really get touched.
Oh, yeah, and you know what?
You know, there's a bunch. I'm just not up on it like that.
But you know what's a trip? They had a race with Wayne Gretzky, Pelé, and two other athletes. I think they're a football player and a basketball player. And one of those events they had back where they'd have the athletes and the athletes run and all that kind of stuff. One of those shows.
Yeah, it sounds awesome.
Yeah, and they did a 50 or 60-yard dash. And guess who won by, like, 12 lengths?
I don't know.
Gretzky,
that's who I'd guess because now was he running or was he on skates?
No, they was running. It was a track and field.
I would have liked to seen it where Gretzky's on his skates, Pele has to dribble a soccer ball, the basketball player has to dribble a basketball.
Yeah, well, and then once again, the skater's going to win that one.
Do you know? I don't know.
If you're in a 50-yard dash,
and then I meet a Kenyan track star.
Ooh. Well, now you threw. I don't know. I don't know. That's a good one. We should. You know. We should do that.
That's how I pictured it. But if they're all just running, I don't know, man.
Well,
that's cool too. But
you know,
where's the showmanship?
Maybe the Chili Gods could sponsor that event. That would be a good one, huh? That would be a really good.
Well, we'd have to get new guys. Wayne Gretzky's like 100.
Yeah, but of course, you also have to remember with the skates. It's once you get in a long distance thing. It's a wrap.
It's like a motorcycle race in a Corvette. Every fifth lap, the motorcycle's gonna lap it.
Yeah, and the other guy, you know, if another guy's running, you know, just a straight track star, he's gonna get out of the blocks the quickest. The guys with the basketball and
It's going to be tough.
It's going to be tough because they have to get that, you have to get that momentum going. So,
and the basketball is fake because you ever seen them trying to sprint with the basketball? All they do is push it way far out in front of them and then run to it. Then push it way far out in front of them then run to it. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So it's not like it's a controlled dribble.
Yeah.
And then the soccer player would probably just kick it far, run to it, kick it far, to run to it.
It's both of them would have to stay between the baseline kind of thing. So, I mean,
that'd be tough, man. The rules would be tough. You'd have to give them points.
I think that the track star would come out first in the first 25.
Yeah, he's just running.
25 yards or whatever, but a 50 yard dash, by then I think the ice skater is going to win. But you know, we don't know. That's why they play the game. So let's sponsor that event. We'll call it the Chili Gods.
We'll workshop it. Okay. Yeah.
Let us know.
Yeah.
But anyway, we'll
workshop that one.
Yeah. So, I think a lot of things is with superstitions is you just want to put it in your mindset that, hey, I've been here before, I've done this, I can reciprocate something good. You know what I mean? So that's what you need to do, you know, is just keep it going, but get in your head first and control your thoughts, and the body will follow, you know. So good thoughts out there, everybody out there, everybody's out there doing their yoga.
Yep, on the this was going to be our honorable mention, and on the opposite of good thoughts and all that, there's the Madden curse, which kind of holds up, it kind of doesn't. It's one of those things where you can make anything be whatever you want it to be. So the Madden curse is they pick a football player every year or whenever, I don't know if it comes out every year, maybe it comes out every 2 years. Regardless, they pick a football player to be on the cover of the video game.
Oh, no.
And the next year, there's been a lot of them, like Culpepper, I think he threw like 1,000 interceptions the next year after he was on it. Michael Vick, I don't know if he got hurt or what happened after that. McNabb sucked after it. There's been a bunch of people. You could Google it. It's a whole list of guys. It's like the lotto curse.
So, wow.
You know, it's one of those things. People have down years, you know, and if you're on the cover of Madden, you just probably had a career year. So the next year is going to be a disappointment regardless. But what happened
is they started drinking that champagne thinking I can repeat, and then they went down the slippery slope
and it's also, you might get pulled in so many different directions. You might be doing endorsements, commercials, this, that, and the other.
Oh, yeah.
But the whole thing is you can make hard it add focus. Up if you want. Well,
yeah, it's hard to focus.
I don't know, man. You got to show up for your job, especially in football. But
yeah.
I hear you. It's.
But a curse. I mean, you know, there's.
Yeah, it is just fun.
There's been a lot of curses in baseball, you know.
Yeah, the Cubs is the one. That's the other one that was. So I don't know what the Cubs curse was. There's a goat, a cat, and then homeboy that. We won't talk about that guy. But the goat, I think, is they. I forget what happened for a goat. I think the goat was they sold somebody for a goat, or they traded somebody for a goat, and then the cat was the black cat walked across the field in the playoffs, and they ended up losing.
Oh God, classic. Classic. But once again, is that mind over matter? Did it get in your head because it was
planet? It's just how they explain things. It's just
don't think of a pink elephant. What are you thinking of? Oh, pink elephant. You know, so.
Well, that's just persuasion, you know.
So, yeah, but that's what I'm saying. Words are persuasion. People are persuasions.
Well, that's why they're superstitious. There could have been 1,000 games where a black cat walked across the field and no one even noticed.
Yeah.
You know, it could have had kittens in the outfield.
Yeah.
And if the home team won, you know, it won't get talked about. It's just the way people explain things. Because disappointment sucks. And just because shit happens, no one wants to be
here.
Here's a good
statistic I'd like to know. If you're shooting free throws against the home court advantage and people are waving and saying, miss a shot, what is the people's shooting percentage for those away games and the homes for everybody in the league? I wonder what percentage is where that affected the percentage of made free throws. You know what I mean?
Oh, it does something. Everything does something. Yeah. But it also could be there's more factors involved. That's like a math problem with the XY variable or however it goes, because it's also you're away. So it's not only that you're seeing the distraction, there's also the psychology.
Look what happened to Kobe Bryant. I rest my case. Yeah, he was away and somebody gave him food poisoning. And it wasn't a Laker fan, I'll tell you that.
But he wasn't shooting free throws while he ate his meal.
Oh, he should have been. I don't know. You should have skipped that. But you don't know. You ever eat something you taste and go, oh, that tastes a little funny, but you know what? I got other things on my mind, and he probably was starving and just ate it. And you never know. They could have put chicken goo on on the salad, but then put the salad dressing on top, it would have masked it. You know, we don't know.
What's that? Yeah, I hear you. That, you know, yeah, we weren't there.
No.
But what does that have to do with shooting free throws at a way or a... Huh?
Well, I wonder what the percentage would be, that would be the difference between 100% of the free throws that are shot. If you're having somebody scream on you, how many is made opposed to how many are missed? You know, what's the percentage? What, I mean, how much higher is it? Because it's got to affect them. I mean, I wouldn't think it would make them a better free throw shooter, right? You know what I mean? It's not going to make you a better free throw shooter. And I was a victim of that at my freshman year in high school at Reardon High School. They had all the freshmen doing contests. And my contest was to shoot, I entered, was to shoot 12 free throws. And I made my first four. And then everybody started grabbing the backboard because it was one of the backboards against the stands and started shaking it. And I'm like, I'll still make them. And I ended up making maybe only seven out of the 12. You know, but I could have made at least 10 because that's what I used to do in my backyard.
Yeah, that doesn't sound legal.
No, of course it wasn't, but it was freshman year at Reardon High School. You know what I mean? Back in 1977. The rules were a lot different back then.
What, this was in a game or on the playground?
No, this was a contest, you know, one of those contests where they got all the athletes together and you could sign up for whatever thing you wanted. One of them was to shoot how many baskets you could make just in 30 seconds. And we have two guys that were like 7'6". You know, they just stood there and just made the basket. I wasn't going to go try to beat them. You know, they do is stand under and grab the rebound and was like,
do layups.
I think they both made like 42 in 30 seconds. 42, 41, something like that. These guys were amazing. Brett Crawford and Braxton Clark.
I don't want for the free throws too.
Yeah, Braxton Clark ended up playing for Phi Slamma Jamma out of Reardon High School. And then he went to Mission. Just old school. But yeah, I had a few classes with them. But those guys were amazing. So I wasn't going to sign up for that. So I went for the free throw contest. But, you know, if everybody's shaking the backboard going, you know, all the guys in my, you know, class, I'm like, what are you doing? And they thought it was funny, you know, because they were fans. You know, they'd probably seen that. That's what you did.
I would have thought it was funny in high school.
Yeah. I mean, that's what it was.
That's how it goes. It's like, I would have thought I probably would have been trying to help shake the basket.
Yeah. That, I mean,
I know what you're saying. It's a different vibe.
Yeah. It's like, you know, it's like, because it's, you know,
that's fun. That sounds fun. That sounds
no, like it wasn't fun. Been. I was pissed because I didn't get the nod.
But looking back at it now, it's hilarious. No?
No, I guess. But think about it. Then I would have been
missed
known
out
as
on a ribbon.
That I would have been known as a sharp shooter because I would have won. I would have won that contest at a whole freshman.
Yeah, but you aren't. Who cares what, you know?
Yeah, but I'm just saying, you know, kids can be cruel, but kids can be have the gang mentality, and it's like, it's what it is.
It feels like it was in good fun.
You know, but it didn't make my, you know, didn't make my next 8 shots very successful. I think I made 3. You know what I mean?
It's like shooting during an earthquake.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
You know what I mean? Yeah, you can't practice that.
No. And growing up in San Francisco, you know, we've even had a few here lately.
Yeah, it's weird, huh?
But yeah, so, superstition, curses, they do affect. I don't know what the percentage is, but I would definitely say that it's in...
There's something to it.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, you know, there's something to superstitions working regardless of...
Yeah, like how did I walk into that zone? How did I walk into that zone last time? Oh, yeah, I remember I crossed my feet 3 times, did a 360 and then a backflip and then, you know, grabbed the baseball bat and, you know, did my thing. You're like, okay, let's do it again. So let's go down that same path. You know, and batting stances, having a certain way they would hold the bat and shake and vibrate. It would just, you know, they're just ready to, you know, to take that ball and put it over the fence. But they want to do it. It'd be nice to do it every time, but then I guess we get bored with it. You know?
I don't know, man. I love a home run derby when they just lob them over there. But yeah, you're right. Regardless of you can't do something every time. You know, otherwise, you could do. You know, a hole in one every time in golf or something, that'd be nuts.
Yeah, but probably get boring too.
So, yeah, you're right. When it's too easy, it gets boring.
You know, so I would say superstitions and curses are real.
There's something to them.
Because if it gets in your head, it's in your head, and then it gets in your head.
Pay attention, people. Don't get cursed.
Yeah, so yeah. Karma. Remember karma. Please remember karma. You know, and that's our lesson for today. So I think karma gets the chili gods stamp of approval today, for sure. I think that's, yeah, karma. So remember, if it comes in your ears, it goes in your brain, and then it goes in your body, then it will come out as actions. And actions speak louder than words. And so let's curb that behavior and don't even let that in there, which is the hardest part, I think. You know, it sounds good at first. Hey, come over here, do this. Come over here, do that. Oh, yeah, it sounds like, at the time, it sounded like a good idea. So, you know, be strong. No is the strongest word in English language. So if somebody tells you you can't do something, just remember, say no. You know, not like Nancy Reagan, you know, saying don't do it. It's just say no. Or wait, isn't that hers? Just say no. It is. Be like Nancy Reagan. Just say no. Don't let that bad stuff in there. And if you gotta, you know, have a little superstition, it helps you. It's gonna help you, you know, because it's in your mind as a positive. Like I used to always tell the kids, you're not gonna hit a home run. If you go up there thinking you're gonna hit a home run, you might not ever hit a home run. But if you go up there thinking you're gonna strike out, you're gonna strike out every time. So, but you still might hit a home run if you think you can. You never know. But if you're gonna strike out, if you think you're gonna strike out, you're gonna strike out. So the mind is a powerful thing.
There it is there.